Good morning. Today we're going to be reading out of Matthew 28, 1 through 10. So Jesus has risen. So after the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to the tomb. Now, I got tickled when I saw this. The Bible sometimes cracks me up. But Mary and the other Mary, I just think of people saying, hey, there's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. I wouldn't want to be called the other Mary. But anyway, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you unto Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, collapsed at his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. I'm sorry. In reading this, the word afraid appears in the short lesson four times. Twice it describes fear that people were experiencing and twice that people were told, do not be afraid. And so in reading this, you know, thinking about the word fear, and sometimes fear is one of the strongest motivators of our behaviors throughout our whole life. So I kind of want to walk through the scripture and talk about the things that God is telling us, do not fear, do not be afraid. And as we read, the story begins with the women going to the tomb. And, you know, Matthew is the only gospel where the stone is actually still in place. I didn't realize that, but in reading all this. And then there was an earthquake. And then an angel comes down and he rolls the stone away and then the tomb is empty. And the angel sits on that stone and his clothes were dazzling white, white as lightning. And the Roman guards, it was kind of funny, they shook and passed out while these women are standing here firm as can be. Like, where is Jesus? Honestly, I think it's like maybe the first example of first century Jewish humor, that here are these big, tough soldiers who pass out, and these women, they're standing strong. But what it is the message here is that we don't need to fear earthly powers. See, the Roman soldiers represented earthly powers. And in Jesus' day, Rome held all the political power, economic power, and all the military power. But in the presence of God's messenger, of the news of new life, they couldn't stand. They passed out. They fainted. So it just tells us that in the face of earthly powers, here there's no need to be afraid on a day-to-day basis, right? And the second thing, the most important thing about this story, is that we don't need to fear God's judgment. So, I mean, there are many people out there who want to tell you that God is unhappy with you. They want to remind you of everything that you've done wrong, that you've thought wrong, that you believe wrong. They want to tell you that God is fed up with you and angry with you and has to punish you. And, you know, they want you to be afraid of God's judgment. And people like this just amaze me. It amazes me that in 2016, when a man walked into the Pulse nightclub and shot and killed 49 people, the day after that shooting, on YouTube and on television, on Facebook, all these places, they were claiming that these people died because of God's judgment on gay people. In 2011, there was an earthquake in Japan. And they said, hey, this is God's judgment on Japan because they're not Christian enough. Y'all, that is not God's judgment. It is not. In fact, quite the contrary, if we look at this message, This message is a message not of punishment, but of love, grace, and forgiveness. And I'm going to show you. Here's proof. As the women leave the tomb and they're afraid, but they're filled with joy, Jesus appears to him and he says, "Go and tell my brothers. Go and tell my brothers that I'm going to meet them there." And he calls them brothers. Now, I've read and just understood that he was talking about the disciples, right? But the fact that he calls them brothers is a huge, big deal. Now, these are the same people that he calls brothers that betrayed him, denied him, and abandoned Jesus just hours, days earlier. You know, they desert him, but now he's calling them brothers. And then the story goes on that if you read further, that whenever he meets them on the mountain, you know, he doesn't say, "Hey, you remember what you did to me? I think you owe me an apology." He doesn't say to them, "Hey, if you confess your terrible things you did, I'm going to forgive you." That's not what he said at all. He said, "No, Jesus came out of the tomb already forgiven them, right?" And he says, "We're going to pick up where we left off." And he doesn't dwell on the past. He says, "Continue my work. Continue what we're doing." And he says, "Go and make more disciples. Continue what we've been doing all along." See, this is amazing because God never gives up on us no matter how wrong we are. And the fact, you know, in the gospel, it just is amazing to me how the disciples get it wrong time after time after time after time. The disciples, it's funny to me that, you know, whenever 5,000 people were out there and they're thinking that, well, they got to eat on their own. And then Jesus decides that he's going to feed them. And he takes this little bitty bit and feeds these people. See, they thought something was going to happen that was totally different than what happened. Right? And they thought that Jesus would not want to be bothered with little children, and something else happened instead. Right? They thought the Messiah was going to lead Israel to be an earthly power, to be a political, military, and economical power, but something else happened instead. And when they saw him die on the cross, they thought his life was over. They thought his ministry was finished, but something else happened instead. Jesus was raised from the dead, and his ministry continues today. I'm going to tell you what God's judgment is. God's judgment is you are loved. You are forgiven. So in the face of judgment, we don't need to be afraid, right? So if we know that we're forgiven and we don't have to be afraid of the judgment of our past from God, and we don't need to be afraid of any earthly powers here in the present age, that only leaves one more arena. And what is that? The future. And Matthew tells us that the resurrection story, that the angel tells the women, "Go, tell, he will meet you there." Out there in the future somewhere, in the days to come, he's already there, right? And as the women go on and tells the disciples, he's alive, he's risen. You know, Jesus is telling them, "Go tell them I'm alive. Go tell them that I will be waiting there for them when they get there." You see, the resurrected Jesus is not bound to the same time that we are. Thank God, because I'm always late. You know, so Jesus is a Jesus of the past, the present, and the future. And he can be in all those places at the same time. So what happened in our past is our past. He's here with us in the present, and he's going to be there in the future. And he's waiting on us there. He's out there in the future preparing for when you get there. And I'm not just talking about after you die. I'm talking about later today when you're at dinner and you find yourself in that awkward conversation. It's a disagreeable conversation with that family member or that friend that you swore that you weren't going to get into this conversation with about this. He's already there. I'm talking about later this week when you have a difficult test or when you hear rumors of another layoff at work or whenever you're at the doctor's office and you get bad news. Jesus is already there. And I'm talking about later this year when you don't know what's going to happen. He's already there. He's preparing for that time when you can be grace, love, and forgiveness to somebody who's hurting or in despair or dying. Jesus is already there. He's getting it prepared, a place prepared for when you have no words to say. He's already there. And when you do come to your last breath, he's already there. Like I said, Jesus is an on-time God. And he goes ahead of us in death. And he lets us know that we're not alone. And if we think that death has the final word in our lives, guess what? Something else is going to happen. Jesus will lead us to a new life, to a resurrection life. So in the face of the future, whatever it might bring, don't be afraid, because he'll be there. Don't let the devil steal your joy in the present because of worrying about the future. Do you know that worry will just make things worse? I'm one of these people that I kind of fly by the seat of my pants. But there are people who have things scheduled out to, 5 years. My wife is one of those people. I mean, 3 months out, I know where we're going on Saturday. I don't know where we're going, but I know that I do need to put something on my calendar because she's already got it planned. So, yes, Jessica. Jessica's that. No. There, our address book. We call Jessica and Jenny our calendar girls because they keep our calendar straight pretty much. We would never show up for anything. When you let worry and you let doubt and you let fear of the future get in your way of the present, you know what? God's saying, hey, I already got this. I'm here with you now, but I'm going to be there with you whenever you get there. So don't worry about it. You can't change what's going to happen in the future. So if you can't change it, why worry about it? Face it when it comes. Face it when it gets there. Be rested up. Be preparing now for what is in the future. If you know there's going to be layoffs at your job and there's a possibility that you may be one, start looking for a job. Or trust God that you're not going to get laid off, but be prepared if you do. If you're feeling a pain in your side and it's about to knock you down, go see a doctor. Don't wait until it's, so bad that you have to go by ambulance. I mean, prepare for what's going to happen in the future today as much as you possibly can, but don't worry about what's going to happen in the future. Because he's already there. He already knows. He already sees. He already sees that path that you're going to take to that future. He already sees that. So the more you stay prayed up in the present, the more you're able to tackle things in the future, right? So in the face of the future and whatever it may bring, do not be afraid. And I think that is just classic Jesus. Don't be afraid. So go and tell, because Jesus goes with you. And he'll meet you there. He goes before you and he'll meet you there. Because nothing takes God by surprise. Thank God. Because people like me surprise him all the time, or try to anyway. Because sometimes life can be unpredictable. But guess what? He knows. He knows. He knows the smallest basic little things. And he will put people in your path to help you tackle those things. is to let God handle it. Let him take control of it. Give it to him and don't take it back. And then don't worry about the future because it's pretty much already taken care of when it comes to him. And he'll handle it. So there's no need to worry.